This program is a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and is brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.
97 Gold presents Your Money with Faye Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Now, here's Faye Bagby on 97 Gold.
Good morning.
Well, good morning, Faye. How are you?
I'm wonderful. You know, it's a beautiful day, and that always makes me happy. And it's warm outside, and that makes me happy. Well, How could it get any better?
Well, that's about all you can hope for these days because you can't go anywhere. You can't travel anywhere. You put yourself in your house and stay there. You can't get anything at the grocery store. So we'll take that. We'll take a nice warm day.
I mean, you know, the grocery store is not one of our favorite places anyway. And now the shelves are kind of bare. So
yeah.
Why bother going over there?
Yeah, I know. I was surprised. For some reason, it didn't even cross my mind because I wasn't going for, man, I gotta go get, you know, coronavirus, cleaning supplies or disinfectant or whatever it is. I just went in for other things, and I was just walking through the store, and there were so many stores, just aisles and aisles that are bare, and they're out of cleaning supplies and wipes of all kinds of varieties, and they're out of, you know, all the soaps, and I'm just like, oh my God, I can't even. Now, it's good that people are taking it seriously, you know, and going to get the supplies that they need. That's good. But man, it's
a
little bit scary.
Do you think they might have bought a little bit too much?
We couldn't find a bottle of sanitizer to save our life, you know, between here and San Antonio. And so we thought, well, you know, we got to get some hand sanitizer. And then we started going through a basket of just kind of like the catch-all basket, and we started pulling out a little travel size, and ooh, there's another travel size, and it turns out for some reason at some point we just kept buying hand sanitizer, the little travel bottles, I don't know why it happened a while ago, I guess, and so now we've got 5 bottles of travel sanitizer. We don't have to get it to the store, but if you do, I've seen on Amazon that they're selling sanitizer for like $200 and $300 a piece.
That has gotten ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, every time we have something like this happen, prices just go through the roof.
Yeah.
They figure they can get it, so why not do it?
Exactly. Exactly. They get away with it, and, well, I guess who's going to stop them?
And then you had that Jim Baker on television telling everybody he had this miraculous cure for it. And the SEC and everybody shut him down real quick. You can't do this, you know. Oh, my gosh.
Man.
You know, had a little secret deal going on there, you know. And it was probably just water with vanilla in it or something. I mean, you know, I don't know, but the government shut him down anyway.
Well, it's probably a good thing.
I think it was a good thing. People should spend their money a little more wisely than that.
Yeah, yeah.
Because if there was something to stop it, don't they know that we would all have heard about it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that would spread quick.
It would spread quick. Now, Israel says that in a week they're going to have a vaccine.
Really?
That's what Israel said. Now, I don't know how they could do that because, you know, now they probably have different rules than we have. But here it has to go through all kinds of clinical trials. But you're looking at a year.
Yeah, yeah, I've heard it at least a year over here. So
a year. First, it has to be tested on animals like little rats and mice. Then you move to people.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, maybe over there they don't have to do all that. But they said, in a month that they were going to have shots for this. I don't know. I hope they do. I hope it's a great success because we need it. But I don't know if that would work.
Yeah, if it keeps going the way it's going without any kind of slowdown, I'd hate to think about what condition we would be like in a year when the vaccine comes out.
Well, and one thing about this is everybody's going to be so sanitized and so clean, we will never be dirty again. We're going to be so clean. I mean, a lot of us, you know, maybe we weren't washing our hands for 3 minutes, you know, every time. But now everybody is washing their hands a lot and longer time, and with warm water and hot water, no more cold water washing your hands.
Yeah, yeah. You use the warm water to kill the germs. And then
that's right.
I think people are paying more attention to, like, cleaning their phone. They say that phone cleansing, because if you go out anywhere, even if you sanitize your hand, your phone is still waving around in the air and can pick up all kinds of God knows what. And so they say to make sure you sanitize your phone, which means more wipes, which means those get gone from the store. It's just this cycle that just keeps going, and it affects people in all kinds of different ways that we never thought.
That's right. And they said, stay out of big crowds, no big crowds, no big deals. And they said, people that go to big churches, even, that's a bad thing right now.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you don't know if those people have been out of the country. Somebody sitting three steps away from you might have been, you know, in Spain last week or someplace over there. And we just don't know.
Yeah. You were saying earlier that there was a lawyer that infected?
Yes, a lawyer in New York got it. He'd been to a gathering, and now 64 people have gotten it from him.
Wow.
That's how quickly it spreads.
And so each of those 64 people, what if they were to spread it to 64 people each? I mean, it's easy to see how quickly coronavirus is spreading.
That's right. And, you know, New Rochelle, New York, you know, they swear it's not quarantined, but they've got the National Guard there bringing them food and helping them. And it seems like there's a net around New Rochelle because all these people have gotten it. There's over, I think, 100 of them have got it so far.
Really?
Yes, and I think they've all been to the same synagogue and the same places.
Oh, boy.
I think they all went to church together and some other things.
So basically the entire town of New Rochelle is quarantined.
Yeah, and they say it's not a quarantine, but, you know, it sounds like it in reality.
It kind of does. And then I saw, you saw the other day that the NBA season was canceled because a player was diagnosed and tested positive for coronavirus.
That's right. And once one of them was tested, you know, they just shut it down for the year.
Yeah.
And can you imagine how much that's going to cost?
Oh, man. It's...
And they say a lot of the small businesses, this is really going to affect them, you know, if they say, oh, you can't do this or you can't do that. Of course, airlines are huge, and they have millions upon billion dollars. But there's all these places, they're not going to be flying. They'll probably lay off some stewardesses and things, different people.
Yeah, you're right. You know, from flight attendants to pilots to the food vendors in the airports
That's exactly right.
The guys that clean up. It goes so far. And so why you think of the NBA? Think of all the food vendors there at all the stadiums and things like that. You think of all the transportation that people take. You know, if they take whether it's Uber or, you know, some other kind of a thing, they're going to be affected because nobody's going to the game. And then you think about the little businesses around it. So after the game, people go to, you know, the local bar or local sports bar even to watch the game. Those are going to be affected. If there's no games, there's no. So, I mean, it's and then you can't hang out with people anyway. So even if the season was to go on, you know, so then you think, okay, well, then what's after basketball? Well, then you've got, you know, baseball, spring training, and then you've got the entire season, and then you've got, you know, all these things, and then.
But it's going to be over by then. Tell me that. Tell me that this thing is going to come. It's going to wipe out. In a month, we'll be laughing about it and saying, gosh, it's over. What a deal.
Yeah, let's go with that.
Is that right?
This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring. right next to Ivy Cottage.
And don't forget, your website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com. People can go there, find all kinds of information. They can find past studies of past investments, see what investors have made, read testimonials, see how the investment works. And this is the time where I guess we should probably address the elephant in the room. And we talk about all these other effects and how it's affecting people. The coronavirus is affecting the economy and all these different segments of the economy. However, we saw this past week some very scary things. Now, I know that they say that when the stock market shuts down for 15 minutes, it's just to stop the free fall. And did it stop the free fall? Because you said it happened three times this week, right?
It happened three times in one day.
In one day.
They kept stopping it. Then the stock market came back up. Then it lost 1,100 points. I mean, it was just, it's seesaw. It's really, really bad all week, dropping terribly. And every time something else was announced, of course, it went down again.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's going to have I think the stock market is going to be down for a while. I mean, I'm thinking maybe a month or so.
Wow.
I mean, because they're scared. And all these big companies on there, everybody's selling their stock. They're saying, I need to get out of the stock market. Well, it's like this. I've said it many a time. When you're in the stock market, it's 100% risk.
Mm-hmm.
It's not 10% risk or 20%. Everything you put in that stock is at risk every day. And I try not to dwell on that, but it is the truth. And if it goes down, that's your money that you just lost.
Yeah.
Because you didn't have a guarantee on it. There wasn't a loss stop on it, In other words, it doesn't say, if it loses 50% today, we'll give you your money back.
Yeah.
That isn't going to happen.
It's just gone.
So, yeah, it's gone. So, it reminded me of 2008, but then they said it was as bad as 1991.
Really?
And I don't remember back then. I really don't. But they said this is the worst it's ever been. It dropped more than had it any other time.
Wow. That's a scary thing.
It is scary. And I've had more calls this week than I usually get. And a lot of people called and said, you were recommended by five people. And I said, well, okay. And they said, I need to make an appointment. I need to make some changes. So we have a lot of people coming this next week, I can tell you that.
I'm sure.
And then another guy called and he said, some people I know have recommended you. And what they said was, if you want to get anything done, you see Faye Bagby. And I loved it. I said, that's pretty funny. But that's exactly what they told him. Said, if you want to get this done, you go see Faye Bagby. So anyway, we've got a lot of people coming, more than usual. And I think it's because a lot of them are still in the stock market. And they're thinking, maybe I need to get some of that out, or maybe all of it if they can, where they can break even.
Mm-hmm.
If it hadn't gone down so far, they can't break even. They're going to be putting money with us because they know that their principal is always safe.
Yeah.
The principal is never going to go down. It doesn't matter what happens. The principal is not going to lose money because it's in a life insurance policy. And remember, a life insurance policy doesn't go up and down with the market. It's a solid investment that stays the same, and that's what I like about it.
So while we see all these stories on the news and we see our friends and neighbors, or we look at our own portfolio, if anybody's actually in the stock market right now, we're seeing all these people losing their entire life savings. They're losing their entire retirement. We're talking about years of investing to try to build things up. All of a sudden, the carpet just ripped out from underneath. It's like a gigantic game of chutes and ladders. And so people are losing all of this. The people that are with you and in these life settlements, their investment is solid. They're not even losing a wink of sleep, right?
Nope, because they all know. And in fact, one of the gentlemen that came by this week, he said, if everybody had an investment with Faye right now, they'd be just riding it out. There wouldn't be any panic, and you wouldn't be having to stay up past midnight. We usually say everybody got up at midnight and checked their stocks. Now they're checking it all during the day to see where they're at.
Yeah.
How much have they lost? And look at Occidental Petroleum.
Mm.
You know, their stock is hammered. I mean, I think it was at $11. I mean, they have lost a ton of money. And all these big oil companies have. Everybody has. And then oil dropped, and it just kept dropping. It was $33 last time I checked.
Really?
So that affects everybody in the Permian Basin.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
I mean, we talked below, you know, when it was when we were in the boom and we were up near like $100 or over $100 a barrel, that was, I mean, everything was thriving. And then it started to go down. And then we were hovering around 50 for a while. And we started to see, didn't you say like late 2019, there was like 30,000 layoffs or something like that over 2 months period, I think.
That's right. And they say over 30,000 people have left because they lost their jobs. I talked to a gentleman that I've known a long time, and he has lost his job, and he's been with that company 27 years.
Wow.
Long, long time. He would have thought he would have never lost his job.
Yeah, that's security right there.
Yeah, and the big companies are pulling back. And what he does, it's all computer work, but it looks at all the welding and all these places on pipelines.
Mm-hmm.
So if they don't need him, my gosh, you know, they're really getting down to it.
Yeah, yeah. You take a 27-year veteran, and they're down to layoffs at that level. That's pretty serious. That should send some messages to people that, you know, hey, we have a situation here. I see a lot of, you know, construction that has been going on, whether it's apartments or, you know, new office complexes. I see these things going up all the time. And I'm where you first started to see large crews of people, there would be, you know, construction guys everywhere, you know, and they're in the, it seems like those the people that are working on those are even starting to kind of thin out. Whereas, like, you may have seen 20 guys walking around on an average day. Now you see maybe five. And so I wonder if even if those types of things are being scaled back because of oil prices and things like that. So I don't know. It's affecting, it seems like, almost everybody.
Yes, it is. It will continue to do so. If oil comes back, you know, it's going to take a while. The other thing I found out is some of these huge oil companies are riding the little guy and not paying their bills for 4 months. Now, that's just absolutely criminal.
Really?
I did not know that. Yeah, they're riding all these people that they've got invoices out to and not paying them. And they're offering them like $5,000 when they owe them $100,000.
So they're offering pennies on the dollar for contracts that they've already signed.
That's exactly right. And they're public companies. They've got the money. They should be paying. And this is what's going to put some of the service people out of business, is these big oil companies not paying their bills.
Can they do that?
I didn't even know that till last week. And somebody that has a contract with one of them that's fixing up to sue to get his money, he said, they offered me $5,000. He said they owe me $100,000.
Wow. People can't.
Yeah.
People cannot afford to. That'll break the infrastructure right there.
Yeah, and big companies, you know, most of them pay in 30 days. I mean, that's always been the deal. You're supposed to pay your bills in 30 days.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now I've always known that Walmart didn't. Walmart's always done 90 days in arrears, where they could sell the merchandise before they ever pay.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, because they're so huge. But everybody knows that going in. If you're a supplier of Walmart, you know that it's always 90 days. So you have to have enough money or a good banker to carry you. But this is ridiculous. This is just, you know, all service work, and you should get paid. But they're riding them out now and keeping that money for themselves. That's not right.
So it almost sounds like there's signs and indications that, you know, there's a run on prices and goods. There's gouging fixing to happen. And I guess, I don't know what you would call it. There may be a term, there may not, like reverse gouging, where, like you say, they're offering pennies on the dollar. I don't know if that's a thing or not, but it sounds like, I mean, it sounds like almost some kind of a financial corporate semi-panic may be starting to set in.
Well, and all the big companies, you know, they know that the little guy can't do anything about it. You know, they know we're the big guy, and you're this little guy, and you know, we're just going to run over you, and they do it.
Yeah, because there's nobody stopping.
There's nobody to stop them, and you can stop doing business with them, which they've already done, but it doesn't help you get your other bills paid that they already owe you for.
Yeah, it's it's like you've still got to get what's already out there. You can't just like chalk that up as, oh well, that'll destroy segments of the economy.
That's right. So anyway, that's how things are looking today. That's kind of like Edward R. Murrow. Remember when he talked about how many people remember Edward R. Murrow? My gosh.
You're going back a long way.
I just thought of him. I mean, because we were talking about all this doom and gloom. And
yeah.
You know, I remember that speech he gave. It became famous, you know, and they made a movie about him. But anyway, the good news is everybody with us did not lose any money this week. Everybody with us is still going to make a profit. Their money has remained safe. Didn't go down. It won't go down. And that's the good news of the day.
And that is a lot of good news. You think to yourself, my goodness, you know, how good would it be if somebody's not in a life settlement, if somebody is still in the stock market and they're panicking, they're seeing all these things happen. It must be nice to be completely on the opposite side of the spectrum and know, hey, my retirement is still intact. I'm still growing my wealth and I didn't do anything different. It just so happens that a lot of people have already been in this type of investment. They've been growing, and so they're not in a position to, I guess, quote, jump ship from the stock market. They've already been doing it. So what about those who are looking for other alternatives? Is there a backup? Are there you know, options with a life settlement? What should somebody like that start doing?
Well, the people that have not been coming to us that will be coming to us, I mean, in the next few weeks, as you know, we have a lot of people coming this next week that are going to get out of the market that are a little bit worried, and they should be. I mean, I'd hate to say that there isn't a time to worry. It is a time to worry. And they want to get into something, and they've heard me on the radio, so they're coming, and they know that a life settlement is a life insurance policy. I can't stress that enough. Our investments are life insurance policies that we buy on people that have stage 4 cancer. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they're going to buy policies with us. Once they get into that policy, they don't have to worry about it going up or down or sideways. They just have to wait for it to mature. And that's their only thing, is waiting for maturities, getting paid, and doing it again. We've got probably 3 million out right now in maturities that are coming in. We had 2 maturities hit the banks this week, I think $500,000. We've got another 2.5-3 million that'll be hitting the banks. And it shows you how this really works, that the money turns over, we do it again and again. And when we buy a life insurance policy, we put our clients in it, they know it's 18 months, 24, 30 months, you know, whatever it is. And they know at the end of that time they get paid. They get their principal and they get their interest. A man called me this week. He wasn't accredited. So we talked about annuities. And he said, well, now I can go to the bank and get 1.7. And I'm thinking, holy cow.
Ooh.
Yeah, 1.7. When we get down to talking about 1.7 at a bank, we're in trouble.
Yeah.
This country is in trouble. If that's all you're trying to get is 1.7, things are really in a bad way.
Yeah, I mean, if
and
people
I told
are...
Him, I said, we don't have an annuity that would pay that low, sir. I said, we do not have an annuity that would pay that low.
You know, and I think, you know, you kind of touch on something here. It's like people don't always understand that there are other options. I think they may have been listening. They may have been slightly aware that there are other types of investment like this besides the stock market. But maybe they haven't actually. It's kind of like when you're when you're driving with somebody and you're the passenger, yeah, you may drive the same route every day, but you don't actually retain, okay, turn left on this road, turn right on this road, go straight 5 miles. You don't really remember how to do it, even though you see it every day, you're aware of it. So for those who have been maybe listening, maybe somewhat aware of it, explain a little bit how a life insurance policy works. I know you've mentioned that it's stage 4 cancer, but how does an insurance policy become an investment and a chance to make some money?
Okay. People will call and say, I need to sell my life insurance policy. And they go to their local insurance agent, usually. Or they'll come direct to us, whichever way. If they go and they say, I need to sell it, then they will contact a licensed provider. The licensed provider calls us and says, Faye, would you look at this policy? It's 30 months or 24 months. Would you look at it and see if it meets your criteria? And they all know what our criteria is. They'll try to slip one over us every once in a while. But most of the time, it's a straight deal. It's stage 4 cancer. It's 24 months, 13 months, whatever. So we look at it. If we think it's good enough, we'll buy that for our clients. Then we send them an email and say, okay, we've got this policy. We want to put you in it. And this is how much we recommend you go in it. So that's what we do, and we do that day after day. And the people get in it, and then all they have to do is wait. And when it matures, we send them an email again, and then we say your policy is matured, and then we send them another email and say the money is in your bank account.
So for those who have never done this before and they're hearing this and saying, okay, that's great. What does it mean when you say, you know, the policy is 18 months or 24 months, or what does that mean for the investor?
That means that the doctors say Joe Blow here is going to live 18 months, but that the cancer is going to get him in 18 months. We do not think he will live over that. So that's what we're relying on. Whatever the doctors tell us. If the doctors tell us it's 18 months, then we're going with 18 months. If they tell us it's 24, we'll do a 24-month policy. So then we escrow premiums to cover that 24 months, where that you don't owe anything unless it goes over. So we've got them covered every way we can think of to get them to the place that it does mature, the person passes away, and they get paid.
And the profit margin on this, when you say 18 months, 24 months, things like that, it's 1% per month for that time period, right? I probably didn't explain that right.
If it's 24 months, they're going to make 24%. It's not like a mutual fund. There's some mutual funds that do this, and they pay 8%. They don't care how much it makes. You're going to get 8%. That's it. That's all. So ours is different. We pay 1% a month. If it's 24 months, you're going to make 24%. But you must be accredited. One of the people that called this week said, oh, I would love to get into the life policies. But he was not accredited. And you must be accredited in order to do this with us. So that means you've got to make either $200,000 a year, or you've got to be worth $1 million without your home. And anybody that's been around, you know, been working 25, 30 years, most of them are accredited. Most of them have $1 million portfolio, or they make $200,000 a year. And a lot of our people make a lot more than that. They may make $300,000, $400,000. Or now with the new deal, they may be just barely making $200,000, including bonuses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know? And that's kind of a reflection of the times is, you know, people may not be making maybe the salary that they were. Maybe there are no bonuses coming in the near future. I'm not really sure. It just kind of depends what happens over the next several weeks and several months. But if somebody is in that kind of a situation where they're looking at some kind of cutback in their income, what would you recommend somebody do? And I know that's a difficult question because everybody's situation is a little bit different, but what would you recommend somebody in that type of situation do?
Well, they need to come in and let's talk about it and see. Let me add their assets up, make sure they've counted every asset if they're going to have to go the asset route. You know, if they've got horses, cattle, if they own a business, they probably have, you know, $1 million in assets. They may have $3 or $4 million. So it just depends on what kind of a business they have. Not long ago, some people came to me, and I've told this story before, and they didn't think they had the $1 million. Well, when they went home, re-added everything, they were worth $1.5 million.
So they were they had a lot more assets than what they thought.
Yeah, they had a lot more than they thought. But a lot of people have rent houses. They have businesses they rent out, you know, like office buildings. They own a lot of different things. And, you know, whatever they own, you put it all in there. You put their savings. You put their 401k, their wife's 401k in there. Whatever you own, everything together except your home that you live in. If you have a lake house, you can count that. The only thing you can't count is your home.
And you've said before, I believe, that some people have forgotten about things like a past 401k. Maybe they've changed jobs a long time ago, and that old 401k is still sitting out there. And if it is, that counts, and a lot of people forget that, and it could make a big difference.
And lots of times we move these old 401ks over for them. They don't realize it's back there, and then after they meet with me, they remember that they've got two old 401ks.
And that's a nice surprise.
So we pick that up as an asset also and move that over also.
Okay. So it's important for people to, because I know that people are running through, you know, figures in their heads right now. They're thinking, oh, okay, well, I've got this. It's important to actually sit down and take the time, and it may not take very long. It may take, you know, digging up some old records, whatever the case may be, but it is definitely worth people taking a little bit of time to go ahead and research their own assets and dig back into their records and figure out what they have, because it could mean the difference of, hey, I'm going to retire, or I'm going to be like a lot of people right now, and I'm going to have to work until I fall over. I mean, the stakes are high.
Well, that's true. If they were in the stock market, they're going to have to work an extra 5 years.
Yeah.
If this thing doesn't come back right away. So protect your assets is what I always say. Protect them. Have everything as solid as you can. If you're 60 years old, you can't go through another one of these downturns.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had people come to me and say, Faye, you know, I've been in 3 or 4 of these. I'm through. I'm out. You know, I've had all the ups and downs that I can stand.
Yeah.
So they come to us, we get them in policies, and they don't have to worry about it anymore. It's a solid, solid deal. I love it because, you know, I was in the stock market till 2008, and I got out before the crash.
Mm.
And there's a lot of people that didn't, and they came to my office crying, you know, because they lost so much money.
Yeah.
And this is a good way to do a safe, conservative investment. It has risk. Everything has risk. When we get up in the morning, it's a risk whether we're going to fall and break our neck.
That's true. You may fall out of the bed and break your nose. You never know.
Or you fall over the dog. You know. Have you read Steve Doocy's cookbook?
I have not, no.
You should read it. It is the funniest book I believe I ever read for a cookbook. I got one for Christmas, and he tells how his wife learned to cook. She fell over the dog, Charlie, broke her hip. She was laid up for 6 weeks, and she watched cooking shows and learned how to cook.
Really?
Yes. So when I say, you know, before you get out of the house in the morning, you may fall over the dog and break your leg. I mean, it can happen.
That's true. Anything can happen. It is important to note that, and we'll go over those risks. There's three big ones that people need to know about, and when we say big, they're not really all that big. They're surprisingly, a lot of people characterize them as very low risks, but we will go over those here in just a little bit. But for right now, this is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is...
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330.
And don't forget, your website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com, where people can get a wealth of information about growing their wealth. So every Saturday morning around this time, we get into trivia. What is our topic this morning?
Well, let's talk about St. Patrick's Day. It's next Tuesday.
Oh, it's here already. My goodness, that just crept. With all the other things going on, I completely forgot about it. It snuck it right up on me.
Well, that is the day that St. Patrick's died, and that's why we celebrate it. It's an official Christian feast day. You know, in the early 17th century is when all this happened. And a lot of the churches, it is, the type of Christian holiday, especially in Ireland, because Ireland, so much happened to them with St. Patrick's, and they celebrate his life. And of course, we celebrate the wearing of green over here and shamrocks, mm-hmm. and having a good time. And but we do remember him and what all he did for Ireland. If you remember the story of St. Patrick, his family was very wealthy, and they lived in Britain. And his father and his grandfather before him, they were very heavily into the church. And these people came, and they kidnapped him. And he was just a young boy. And they kept him for 6 years.
Wow.
And he was just he was a shepherd there in Ireland for 6 years. And he said that God came to him in a dream and said, if you will go down to the coast, there'll be a ship waiting for you, and you can flee Ireland, and it'll be waiting to take you home. So he did. He went on back to Britain, and he became a priest. And but he returned to Ireland to convert the pagan Irish. And the story says that, he did this for many years. He spent all of his years evangelizing Northern Ireland, and he converted thousands of people against the Druids. And then they said he drove the snakes out of Ireland. There wasn't really any snakes in Ireland. But the story goes he drove them out of Ireland.
You know, it's like, so, whenever you think about it, I think a lot of people associate, they're like, oh, he drove the snakes away. but there were none.
That's right, but there really wasn't snakes there. But they buried him at Downpatrick there in Ireland. He is Ireland's most foremost saint. And everybody has been influenced over there by what he did. And, of course, in the 20th century, it became a bigger celebration than it ever was in Ireland. Can you believe that?
Wow.
Yeah. And everybody has parades, they have festivals, they have Irish music, and all of this. But there's also a lot of formal gatherings, banquets and dances over there. And the parades been in North America in the 18th century. But then they didn't have parades in Ireland until the 20th century. Because it was such a holy day over there to them, because what all he had done for them.
Wow. So here it was like a party. Over there it was like actually something sacred.
Yes, it was. And, of course, the Sydney Opera House lights up, the Sky Tower in Auckland. A lot of them participate over there. There's 300 landmarks in 50 countries across the globe that go green for St. Patrick's.
Really? I didn't realize it was that much.
Yeah, and the Lenten restrictions are lifted. You can eat and drink on St. Patrick's Day because it is a holy day over there. And most of the churches over there, celebrate it, of course, as a holy day because of what he did for Ireland.
You know, it's amazing how they can take such a sacred holiday over in Ireland, and then over here, it's just an excuse for people to color everything green, get drunk, and talk with a fake Irish accent. It's so
That's
different.
Right. Everybody over here pretends like they're Irish. Everyone, yeah. Of course, I want to see the little people, the leprechaun.
Oh, boy. Oh, man.
I'm more into leprechauns. I love the leprechauns.
Yeah. Who doesn't? They're a happy folk.
Yeah, I mean, the leprechauns, and I like the shamrocks. I love everything Irish.
Yeah.
And I'm not Irish, but, and of course, the U.S. ambassador years ago, John Hearn, he said a box of shamrocks to Harry Truman.
Really?
And, yeah. And then it became a tradition of the Irish ambassador to present shamrocks to the U.S. president on that day.
Wow.
Yeah. And
I didn't know any of that.
All of our presidents have had something to do with St. Patrick's Day.
Wow. And then you have cities like, I think it's Chicago, that colors that river green.
That's right. They cover it green.
Which looks a little moldy, but it is kind of fun. But as long as you can have fun, I guess that's what's important, you know? I don't know what it actually is because I don't have the numbers, but I would imagine probably the decorations, the music, and the trinkets that they sell in association with St. Patrick's Day probably make billions of dollars. You know, you see all the little the hats, the shirts, you know, with little sayings on them, and then you see all the party favors, you know, the blowhorns, the napkins, the all this stuff, the beads that are green that people wear around their neck. There's so many different things. I would imagine it's probably a million, if not billion dollar holiday for the industry.
Well, that's right. And of course, all the little children now, they have green shirts for them, for yeah. St. Patrick. I mean, it's a big deal. But in the 1640s in Ireland, the green harp flag was used by the Irish Catholic people. And they had green ribbons, they had shamrocks, and that was from the 1680s.
Wow.
Can you believe that?
That goes back a long way.
Yeah, this was 17th century stuff. I mean, he lived a long time ago.
Wow. That's amazing.
So anyway, it's nice every St. Patrick's to remember him. You know, it's a national day all across the world.
Yeah, it really is. And it's much more, I guess, not that we have to, you know, necessarily, you know, stop and be solemn about it, but, you know, it is important to recognize it is much more than just a gigantic green beer fest. There's actual meaning to it.
And, of course, look at all the good the guy did.
Yeah.
You know, he did an awful lot of good, and so he should be honored on his birthday, you know. And they had a bank holiday in Ireland starting in 1903. That's how popular he was.
Wow. Goodness. It seems like St. Patrick's Day is such a big deal, and nobody really knows much about it because we all thought it has to do with, you know, some guy and some snakes in Ireland and whatever. Let's just get drunk and talk funny.
But, you know, he was so impressed when he went, when he was kidnapped and was a little shepherd boy there all those years. He saw how pagan these people in Ireland were.
Yeah.
And he said, you know, I'm going to become a priest and I'm going to come back here and I'm going to convert all these people to Christianity from their wicked ways. And, you know, he said, this is where I need to be. And, you know, his grandfather was a deacon in the church. His father was a pastor. And he said, man, I'm going back to Ireland. These people need my help.
Yeah.
And so he spent the rest of his life in Ireland.
So different than what so many people think. You know, the stereotype is not at all what it's actually about. It's neat. This is fascinating.
Yeah, and the first St. Patrick's Day parade in Ireland, they had it in Waterford in 1903.
Wow.
Can you believe that?
1903.
And they declared it Irish Language Week.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah. And so they had a procession on back then, and it was all the Waterford Corporation, the trade unions and bands and all this were included in it.
Wow.
So that's how far back, and of course, they closed all their businesses on St. Patrick's Day.
Hmm.
Interesting. So,
it's a little. It's not quite the same, but it's almost like, it's kind of like a lot of people respond the same in Ireland anyway, as they do like when Christmas comes around, like businesses are closed, things like that. It's actually, even though we celebrate both holidays, it does have a much deeper meaning than, say, like Halloween, for example, you know, which like you still go to work and you still function like normal. But, you know, it's you may just go out and do whatever at night. But this is much more, I guess, significant in not only
it's
Irish
a lot
history.
More significant than we think, as you said.
Yeah.
You and I just thought it was, you know, we love Irish and we love talking about the little people. And, you know, a lot of people at the end of the day probably see the little people.
Oh,
I mean, I wouldn't doubt it a bit. But, you know, to wear green and to wear the shamrocks and do all that. And, of course, another place that celebrates this tremendously is Shamrock, Texas.
Ooh.
Shamrock, Texas has a big deal with the Irish, and they exchange things with Ireland every year, and it's a big deal in Shamrock, Texas.
Really?
It is a big deal. It's a little bitty town in Texas, but they celebrate it, I mean, tremendously in Shamrock, Texas. I'd forgot about that till just now.
Wow.
And, yes, it is a big deal in Shamrock, Texas.
I know you've talked about Shamrock, Texas in trivia before, but I forgot all about it and associating
That's
it
right.
with...
That's right, and they do. They have a big parade. They'll have food. They'll have all kinds of things. Locally, it's just a big deal for that little town.
Wow.
And a lot of people come in from all the other little towns to celebrate with them on St. Patrick's Day. And they exchange things with the Irish in Ireland. So it is a big deal.
Wow. Neat. Well, that might have to go on the list of things to do this year.
That's right. Shamrock, Texas. They have three little motels there on the freeway. And it's a great little town.
Wow. How fun. Well, now we're going to go into St. Patrick's Day with a much broader understanding of what it's all about this year.
That's right. To know, about the little boy that caused it, you know, he wanted to get the pagans out of Ireland.
Yeah. Neat.
And, he spent his life there. So that's why we really celebrate St. Patrick's Day. They made him a patron saint.
Wow. Cool.
Because of all of his work, because of what he did.
Well, happy early St. Patrick's Day to you.
Yes, the same to you.
This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring, right next to Ivy Cottage.
And your website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com. Don't forget that people can go there before they come see you and get a wealth of information, really. There's tons of things on there. People can read testimonials. They can kind of do a little bit of research about the investment before they actually come in and talk about the investment, which is always helpful. Now, we talked about risks. You touched on different risks that are involved with the investment, and people need to know about them. There's three risks that we talk about all the time. The biggest one being if the policy does not come in on time when doctors say that it will, there are things that will have to happen.
That's right. If the doctors are wrong, if they've got it wrong, it could go over. If it does, then your money will be delayed. It might be delayed a year or 2 years. So you have to be aware of that it could go over, that you could get your money later. But you know, I was just thinking about that the other day. Everybody that's in an IRA, they weren't going to take their money out anyway, so if it's delayed, it's not going to make that much difference, is it?
That's
true.
I hadn't thought about that either.
Yeah, because if it's in an IRA, you're not going to want it right away anyway, so if it's delayed, it won't matter. But that is your risk. Your biggest risk with this investment is it could go over, and you will have to pay premiums. So it's not that big a risk, but it is a risk, and you should always know about it in advance.
Now, you go into these things ahead of time, and I don't want to say you take it into consideration because there's more to it than that. You're actually you'll explain this better than me, but you're creating a fund so that people don't have to necessarily, quote, write a check if a policy does go over for those premiums, right?
If it goes over, they have two options. If they have money in their account, which most people do, we just pay it out of their account.
Okay.
And most of these have a 6 months or a year extra premium in them. So you're not going to be hit right away. Usually there's extra in there to cover it for a while. So, but then if it does and you have to pay it, you can either write a check or take it out of your account.
Okay.
Then the second risk is it is not liquid during that time. Remember that. It is not liquid until it matures. Until that person passes away, you cannot take that money out. But everybody knows that because these people are accredited, and they know, you know, they made the investment. They're smart people. They know their money is invested, and then they know that when it comes due, they can take it out.
Okay.
So then the third one is if a life insurance company ever went under, which, as I've always said, we've never had one in Texas go under. It's been years since we've had one nationally because somebody would buy it up immediately if that happened.
Yeah, there's so much reserves. Didn't you say that life, and please correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it's my understanding that life insurance companies have to have enough reserves to pay every policy if they all came due at the exact same time. Am I saying that right, or am
I
wrong?
That's right. Well, that's basically right, because what they're saying is they have to put up reserves on every policy. So they've got up reserves, and then they have to have a lot of liquid assets at all times. Used to, and I think the law's probably changed, but used to you could not own your own office building.
Really?
And now they can. You can have a holding company that owns the building. But years ago, they would not let them invest in real estate. They want it all to be liquid or near liquid. And, of course, life insurance companies' premium income is tremendous. It's millions and millions and millions that they have.
And didn't you say it, and I don't want to get off on a tangent here, but didn't you say that they get a lot of income from people who just abandon their policy, and that's just free money?
That's exactly right. Every year there's people that just say, I'm not going to pay that policy anymore. I'm tired of paying. I don't need it. I don't want it. And they let it go. Well, that's just money in their pocket. They chalk that up as profit because that $1 million or $500,000 policy is never going to be called on. So that they've just made a huge profit because the people paid on it maybe 5-10 years. They get to keep the money. That's what it amounts to.
Yeah, they'll never have to pay that policy because it's abandoned. So
it has been abandoned.
It goes to help go into their reserves, which I would think is a really big deal, especially right now, because people may be looking at banks. And I know that you know, some of the analysts are saying, I heard some reports this week that they were saying this is a little bit different than 2008 because something to do with the banks or something like that. I don't know all the ins and outs. You probably could explain it better. But it's like this is a little bit different. And so it must be a really, really reassuring feeling for investors to know that, hey, I'm not going to have to worry if this policy matures tomorrow. I'm definitely going to get my money. There's not a chance that they can say, well, you know, it's worth this much, but we're only going to give you 70%. Or, yeah, we don't have the money right now. We'll pay in like 6 months. That's never going to happen.
No, they have the money. When we send in a claim, it takes 11 to 12 days. And then they have the money right out. It's always they just put it in line with what they're doing, and they pay. And we've never had a life insurance company refuse to pay. We've always gotten paid, and very quickly, too.
Do people who maybe were in the stock market at one point, they're used to being up in the middle of the night checking their portfolio, do you find that they have trouble kind of relaxing a little bit and just realizing, hey, I'm in this policy, I'll get paid when it matures, I don't have to check on it every day or every night? Do they have an adjustment period?
Well, I think they relax almost immediately when they realize they're in a life insurance policy that's not going to go up and down. They're going to make a lot more overall. It's not quick money. They're not going to get rich tomorrow. It's just, you know, steady money. But they realize that, you know, they're going to make 24% fairly easy, you know? I mean, when that policy comes due, they get paid. And it happens over and over and over. That reminds me, one of my clients called this week, and he said, "Hey, I'm going to give you another $300,000. He said, "I've decided that what I need is 30 policies altogether."
30?
He made up his mind. He figured out how much he's making. He heard me talk the other day about the lady that was making $94,000 a year. He said, "Well, I can do that. Why don't I just get some more policies?" He's a longtime client. He's a good friend. And he's the one that went out to California that had gained all this weight over the years. And he has lost a tremendous amount of weight. He's come back temporarily, but he'll be going back. And he's going to stay, I think, another 6 months. But he's down to 300 and something pounds.
That's amazing.
I think he weighs maybe 325 now. I mean, he had let himself go till he couldn't even walk.
Wow. I remember
you. Can you imagine?
You've told this story a couple of times. It is so inspiring, you know? It really shows people that just about anything can be done when you put your mind to it. Really inspiring.
Well, and what he said was, when he finally said, I can't even walk. This is ridiculous. Mm. You know, he's 60. He's young. And so he saw this on television that these people had this place, and it's out by the ocean. He called him on the phone, made the deal, went out there, and my gosh, he started losing weight immediately.
Wow.
And it's really an inspiring story. He now went out to Indiana to see his family. They didn't even hardly recognize him. He'd lost so much weight.
I'm sure.
They said they hadn't seen him that small in years and years.
Wow. How fantastic is that?
I mean, it's really a good story about a really good person. And I'm really proud of him that he did this and has really got his life in order. He'll live a long time now. And he said that he was with a nephew, and the nephew couldn't even outwalk him now.
Wow. How fantastic. That is so inspiring, you know?
And another thing, he's one of these people that goes and gets everything archived. If he misses some, he goes into archives and gets all of them and never misses a Saturday morning, by the way.
Really?
I never had thought about that. And if we don't have everything archived, he'll call me and say, I couldn't get them all. So he wants to know that every show is there in order.
Mm-hmm.
And if he's out of town, he goes back and listens to all of them. How about that?
That is fantastic. He sounds like such a wonderful, great person. Not only just a person, but a great friend as well.
He is. And he took his little dog with him out there, by the way.
Neat.
Yeah, his little dog went with him. And his dog, I think, lost 4 pounds.
So everybody's winning here.
Everybody's winning. The little dog was just a little overweight. Oh, my gosh.
Before we wrap up, let's just talk real quick about how the big picture works. You know, we talk about the investment itself. We've talked about, you know, why this is such a great opportunity for people who are looking at the landscape of investments right now and saying, hey, this might be a really good option. But it's not the kind of thing where people come in and should expect to get into one policy and then retire next year. This is a plan. This is a strategy that happens over many years. So how long would you say, on average, should people plan to do the investment, and how many policies should they be in, either yearly or over the life of their...
A lot. Now that the stock market has went down, they need to have more than this than they do in the stock market, naturally. But I would want to have enough that I could retire, and then when they retire, you know, take monthly income out of their account. That's the way I would handle it. And then, as I said, I've got a lot of people that retired this year, and so that's the way it's working for them. We just put more policies together where they will have more income.
So people can do this type of investment to get to retirement, and then once they do retire, they can keep investing, keep getting more money in their account, keep growing their wealth even after retirement, and not miss a beat. They don't have to sacrifice anything. It's just a money-making train that keeps going.
That's right. And remember, if you're making 1% a month, you know, that's a lot more, I think, than you're going to make in the stock market overall.
Yeah.
You may make some quick money in the stock market, but you can lose it all tomorrow, and that's a scary thought.
Yeah, we saw a lot of that this week. So what about...
We did. We saw too much.
We do. A lot of people are panicking and worried, and they probably should be. I know we've talked about it for a long time, that, you know, what goes up must come down, but boy, we saw it firsthand this week. So what about futures? Do you have availability to see people, or are you...
We will have some availability. We have a lot of appointments already this week. Due to the stock market going down, we've got a lot of people coming in. So you need to book the appointments on Monday.
All right.
Try to get your appointments done on Monday, where you'll be sure and get in this week, because we're going to really be busy.
Okay. So one last time for people to call and make that appointment. Faye, what's your phone number?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring.
You've been listening to Your Money with Faye Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Listen for Your Money with Faye Bagby every Saturday morning at 10 here on 97 Gold.
This program has been a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and has been brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.